Welcome everyone to the Sid Warrior podcast. I'm very excited to have Dr. Anamika Chauhan with us today. We are going to talk about a lot of interesting things, so stay tuned. Anamika, thank you so much for joining in. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me in the first place. Excited.
Yes. So first of all, I'm so happy to talk to somebody else from Bombay. I read that you had done your PhD from our own city, from IIT in Bombay.
Yes.
How was that like? What was your PhD in?
So it was in knowledge management, and it was more towards understanding tacit knowledge behavior for people who work in NGOs.
Okay, specifically for NGOs, how is that different?
So for NGOs, more to say, we understand that people who work in NGOs, possibly they only more they are dedicated into donation collection and, you know, so that they can run the NGOs. But more than that, it is the expertise knowledge that they carry year after year after year. Yeah. Among the organizations, between the organizations also, they have a lot of knowledge exchange which is happening. Yeah. Also, with the help of social media, they take a lot of support to run the entire service and the service that they offer to the whole society and the people who are from underprivileged background.
Right. Yes. So this would help you gain an insight into how organizations can cooperate with each other and how they can work together to help society.
Yes, and so that their knowledge is not being lost. So majority of the times what happens in NGOs, they have volunteers who are working. So volunteers keep coming and going. Now knowledge loss is very high because the person came and then left. Now the people who are joining in again, they don't know what the other person has done, or if they have to again start from the scratch, you know, baking the whole cake.
Right.
So that part was giving a lot of gap, and my study was in the same area.
Wow, this has so many interesting applications. Because while you were talking, I was thinking of how there is knowledge gap, or there is another term called knowledge leak. So knowledge leak happens even in schools. For example, if there is a switch between teachers, if one teacher is teaching and then another teacher comes in to take that information forward, sometimes there's a knowledge leak. Or even in corporates, if one CEO leaves and the other CEO joins, the culture of the company might change. There is so much of loss in translation. So do you find that? Yeah, so the things that you learned in your PhD, do you find them applicable in other fields as well?
Yeah, so in NGOs, again, their main focus is to sustain their organization. So again, their whole focus gets into like how much money they are getting through donations so that they can go ahead and do the charity and the service for the people who are from underprivileged background. Now, when we look at schools and colleges, they are more advanced in understanding that knowledge loss will cost them a lot. Their operation cost should not go so high. Right. Hence, they are taking care of knowledge management in a good way, I can say. Mm-hmm. You know, where you don't see that, okay, no, you can't deny that, oh, knowledge management is not happening at all. But in NGOs, it was quite evident that they are not able to control it for the fact that there are so many volunteers who come and go while they are working for the NGOs.
Is there also an element of not having skin in the game? So in corporates, because they have put money in it, because their whole livelihood and business depends on minimizing knowledge leak, they will go to a greater extent to ensure that the system is as efficient as possible.
Absolutely.
In NGOs, for volunteers, as much as you would hate to admit it, it is not that personal.
Yes.
Do you think that is also a factor?
It is a great factor. And internally, if you see in NGOs, when I was doing the study, the behavior of sharing knowledge is more towards that how they are doing it, mostly verbal knowledge is going on. Mm-hmm. The recording of knowledge, that is like, you know, from tacit to explicit, is not happening. It's more of tacit, giving commands, giving explanations or taking commands. Everything is happening verbally, more of verbal work.
Got it.
Recording that particular expertise knowledge was very, like, you know, it was almost there, like, quite negligible.
Right. Yeah. The difference between tacit and explicit is the clarity with which you convey the information. Is that correct? Or is there more to it?
Tacit knowledge is more about how we are speaking. So this is tacit knowledge. Okay. The moment we get this into a scripted format, that becomes explicit.
Explicit.
When we are documenting it, it becomes explicit. But till the time we are keeping it on a verbal note, it is tacit.
Okay, so dating is tacit, a marriage is explicit. There is for layman to understand that as soon as you put a ring on it, the soon as there is a wedding certificate or a marriage certificate, it becomes explicit.
You can say that. It's fun.
The society encourages explicit relationships, not tacit. All right. There is in your field, so when you started with helping NGOs with this program, what was the next step? How did you move from that to helping everyone else?
So I'll tell you the story before that.
Sure.
I have been a professor. I have had a stint in corporate, but I left it because I always wanted to be a professor. I wanted to get into teaching.
Okay.
And post my MBA, after a few years spending in corporate, I became a professor. Now, while I was doing my work as a teaching, like, you know, as a professor, I realized that PhD will add a lot of value to my career. And hence, I decided to get into PhD. Now, post PhD, and while I was in PhD, I was still trying some hands with teaching as well as running a school. So I ran my own school for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, in that tenure of 5 years, when I was interacting with parents about their kids or, you know, the progress of their child and how it is going to help them, how the entire curriculum is helping them, because I was more using multiple intelligences, Howard Gardner's multiple intelligence theory.
Yeah.
To be honest, during those PTNs, report card, I had to keep it aside, and it was more about let's discuss about their marriage or what's happening in the house, why they are not traveling much, why the husband is not paying attention to the wife, why the in-laws are creating troubles in their parenting skill. So that, and this was happening very regularly, very regularly. It's like, छोड़ो यार, report card side में कर, let's just help them out, you know.
बच्चे का पढ़ाई तो होगा, लेकिन मेरा प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व करो आप.
That's how it was coming up. So, considering having this level of, you know, like takeaway from my school business and also when I was a professor. So, apart from teaching and, you know, completing the entire syllabus, it was also important for me to know what's happening with their life personally. So, I was into a lot of counseling and coaching to these students apart from their syllabus or academic coaching. Okay. So, all these mixed experiences, plus my own share of experiences, how I have, you know, come to a stage of where I am right now, they make me realize that if I fully, like, you know, completely get into coaching, this will be a best thing for me to do, and it will also be very satisfying and like, you know, keeping me happy. Like, every day I have a motive. Every day I'm getting up at 4 a.m., taking a session from 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. So I have like 2 sessions early morning. Okay. So, and this I've been doing for 2 years now. So every week, by the way.
Every week, every day, you have a 4:30 a.m. session.
Yeah, I have at 5 a.m. and then at 5:30.
My mind is blown. I don't know anybody else who does that.
So in this, I started this regularly from May 2020. Again, during the lockdown, this is a
Of
wave
course.
of lockdown. Earlier, I was coaching only like one-on-one or in-person, taking seminars in various places. And now when everything came online, so everything happening on Zoom. And that was the time when I realized that it is easier to throw that impact and letting people feel how much more important they are for their own life.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
How
how
do you
I.
convince people to get up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. for a counseling session?
You want me to do that? I can do it for you
Please
right away.
do. Go ahead. I would love to be somebody who wakes up at 5 a.m.
Okay. All right. So just tell me, if you notice the lockdown period, you know, earlier, which was the shock when the lockdown started dissolving, you know, like phase-wise unlockdown was happening, which was the first shop which opened?
The grocery stores,
No, before that.
before that, the alcohol shops.
Actually, okay, now park this notion. Okay, this is the proper study. Okay, so put it aside. Now let's come to the second point. If you notice, you see Bollywood movies,
Yes.
yeah, okay. Now in Bollywood movies, when it comes to celebrating life, how many songs can you think of where the protagonist or the hero and heroine are celebrating life in early morning session, like early morning dinner?
Very little. It's always late night.
Okay. Okay, now park this theory as well.
Okay.
We have maximum Bollywood songs where they say, if you're enjoying life, you're doing it in a disc or a pub in the late night.
Correct.
Okay. Now come to the third part. Okay.
I'm getting afraid of where this is going.
I'll tell you where it is going to. You have a deep observation here, I'm sure.
Okay.
Come to the third part, okay? So because we are used to working late night, yeah, two things happen. We feel sorry for ourselves. Plus, our family members also start feeling sorry for us. Like, bechara, dekho kitna de de the company. Right?
Right.
Out of the sorry feeling, what happens? We feel we are not enjoying life.
Mm.
Right? And then we start going out for the party to the same place where it is a place for the government to get maximum revenue.
Wow. Okay.
Now, connect the dots.
Are you telling me that this whole scheme of keeping people up is just for greater tax returns for the government?
Giving your hard-earned money to somebody else. Yes.
So we've been scammed is what you're saying.
Absolutely. It's a part of the system. And we are the part of the system.
Okay. So what you're telling me is that if you want to rebel against this scam, the best way to do is to wake up early.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. All right. So you wake up early to protest.
Yes. I mean, we wake up early. See what happens. We are more like away from the distraction. Okay. Right. Now, if you follow the Maslow's need hierarchy theory, okay?
Yes.
Self-actualization is at the top.
Right.
And that is only possible when you're sitting with yourself.
Right.
And that is only possible when you're waking up between 4 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Wow.
After that, what happens? Like, we have the need to look for getting into the rhythm. Now, if I'm waking up between 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., the only thing I can think of is having breakfast and rushing to the work. That's it.
Right. Right.
I can't think of meditation. I can't think of my priorities. I can't think of blessing myself.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about traffic. Kitna milega.
Correct. Society has already staked its claim on your attention.
Yes, exactly.
So your attention is no longer yours. It's not free for you.
Yes. Now, if I'm doing it, say, like between 11 to 4, now at that point of time, I'm before that, like 6 to 8 a.m., I'm more concerned about being prepared for the day. After that, I'm in the need of filling up with love and happiness. So between 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., I feel like connecting with people. Maximum at water filter happen at between 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Hello, hi, what's up?
Where did you party last night?
Exactly. So at that point of time also, I'm not thinking about myself.
Right.
I'm again getting into that, you know, social need of connecting with people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's take the time commitment of 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Hmm.
Now, in this part, I'm fully dedicated on my work. I'm even ready to give away my priority of having lunch. I can have a late lunch.
Yes.
At that point of time, I want to save my job. I want to save my project, whatever I have in my hand,
yes,
which will help me to sustain my whole month.
Yes.
Okay? Now come to 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Okay. Now this part of time is more about, again, enjoying my life.
Right.
If you see maximum ads, they are running in the evening slot. Maximum of our shopping is happening in the evening slot. Maximum of the malls are filled.
Yeah.
In the evening slot.
Yeah. That is where you shop. That is when you want to buy stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So again, where am I keeping myself? Mm.
Also, because you feel like you have earned your spending because you worked so hard from 11 to 4. Now you deserve to let go of some of that money. You deserve to just splurge.
Exactly. Now, suppose if I'm waking up early at 4 a.m., obviously I have to be on the bed by 8:30, 9 p.m.
Right.
So I'm saving a lot. I'm becoming richer. I see my priority is not buying dresses.
Right.
Priority is to have a healthy sleep. Like, sleep is the best thing.
You make it sound very logical. And very silly to not wake up early.
Exactly. It's scientific. I got the Maslow's need hierarchy for you. I got the entire cognitive science for you.
All right. You know what? I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to try and wake up. So my current waking up time is 6:45, which has also been difficult, if I'm being honest. When the lockdown started, there was a time when I was waking up at 9:30 because I would sleep at 4. So maybe there was a time when my sleeping time and your waking up time was clashing. I would be streaming at night. But now, since the last 3 months, I can feel a gradual shift towards waking up earlier and earlier. And now I don't even need an alarm. My eyes are open by 6:45. Maybe I have to turn it back up even by 1 more hour, 1.5 hours.
I'll tell you, Siddharth, before that, you know what is important? Mm-hmm. Giving a lot of importance to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are undermining sleep a lot. We feel in India, especially in our culture, sleep has been criminalized. Jo soya wo khoya. How can you sleep? Oh my God, you're asleep.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so you won't wish the 12 a.m. birthday celebration.
Yeah.
Who is created around sleeping early?
Right. It's we are almost peer pressured into not sleeping early.
Yes. And how can you sleep so much more? Like since our school time, we are, you know, again, being told again and again throughout. Yeah. So at that point of time, it was about don't sleep doesn't mean that don't sleep, as in stay alert.
Yeah.
The same Hindi, like, you know, the phrase, jo soya wo khoya, has been come down to sleeping hours.
Even when you're normal sleeping time.
So that's the kind of grapevine that we are struggling with.
There is a sense of FOMO.
Hmm.
Whenever you go to sleep, nowadays, especially with kids, they feel like when you sleep, you're missing out on something that is happening at night. They don't know what. Most likely nothing is happening. But they still want to be on the internet. They still want to be on social media because they want to keep scrolling, because who knows what will happen. I don't want to miss out. All my friends are here.
Actually. And the best part is starting from the early parents, like the new parents, I like to talk about them. They are on the bed and they are scrolling phone along with the child sleeping next to them, or trying to put them down and scrolling phone like.
Right.
This multitasking is nowhere helpful.
And a child growing up seeing that will think this is the norm.
Actually.
And that habit will be very difficult to break.
Absolutely. See, even the OTT channels whom we follow so much so, I have nothing against these OTT channels. Okay, I do have the subscription on Netflix. And Okay. But the sad part is, you know, when we are spending, so I ask people, so why you don't sleep early? And 70% of them, they are saying that we are hooked to our screen. We are watching, you know, Netflix, Z5, XYZ, OTT channels.
Yeah.
To them, I have a very simple question. See, people whom you're watching on these OTT channels, they have done a lot of hard work to come on that screen. You agree? Yeah. And they're like, yes, we agree. Now, the fun fact is, if you are losing your sleep to see other people's hard work, when the time will come when the universe or the people or society will see your hard work?
Yeah. You are choosing somebody else's hard work over yours. You're saying that your own life is not as important as theirs.
Yes. I mean, how will I have the energy to work if I'm losing my sleep?
Yeah.
For watching other people.
I sometimes think that selfishness has been criminalized too much. And in fact, it is a very useful skill to have, or a very useful virtue to have.
Exactly.
Be selfish.
I'm so glad you said it. Thank you.
Why not, right? Be selfish, eat healthy, go to sleep on time. Don't do it just for social validation. Don't stay up just for social validation.
Exactly. I mean, it's okay. I don't know what happens in Money Heist.
Nothing happens. It's fine. Oh my God. Tell me this. If you ask somebody that, do you value your own life more or do you value Tom Cruise's life more? Everybody will say, of course, my own life. But their actions don't reflect that.
Totally. A complete mismatch.
Yes. So what do you think that is? What is that challenge that people face when they are on that journey for self-improvement?
Yes. Number one is imposter syndrome. They are completely saying something else. They mean something else, and they are doing something else. I'm also against with the idea of personally the superman and superwoman syndrome. That is second one. Oh, I'm a superwoman. I'm a superman. I should be doing everything together.
Right.
Yeah. Let me take decisions. Let me control everything. Let me have micromanagement. How can I trust if I don't do it, nobody else can do it well?
The control freak issue that aur koi nahi kar payega, mujhe karna hai.
And then saying later on complaining, sabkoi mujhe hi kaam deta hai. Everybody is giving me the work. I don't know how to say no. I said, right. Okay, don't say no. You don't know how to say no, no problem. Say yes to yourself.
Right. Right.
It's simple. Why to complicate it?
Beautiful.
I can't say no to Siddharth. I'll say yes to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Game is
Oh, wow. It's like you're just change the question. If you can't say no, just change the question.
Exactly. So today only this morning, I was talking about this this point on time management and priority setting.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, you know, if, even if we tell Dr. Namita, if I tell people that, see, this is my priority, they will think that I'm a mean person. I'm being rude. How can I say no to them? So I said to that, you have a very simple statement, and that's like a golden sutra. So, and that is, the statement is, I will come to you.
Right. Wow. Give me that freedom to make up that time to make that decision.
Exactly. I will come to you. So neither I'm asking the person to wait. I'm not saying, hey, you wait. Because the other person doesn't want to wait. So why to push them, you know, the cliff? You're asking me to wait. If I say that, no, I don't have time right now. Please don't come to me. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
Please wait. People there don't want to wait.
There is a line that I had read on making a deal, which applies across the board. It applies even to friendships or relationships. Don't corner and don't be cornered.
Right.
So maintain an open field. Understand that the other person also has freedom of choice. Give them that freedom of choice, but don't give up your freedom of choice either.
Absolutely. One life only.
One life. YOLO. When you have been helping people become better, have you found that there is a lot of pressure that they're facing from their workplace, from their home, or if it's a student from their school? Can you tell me, how do you help people handle pressure?
I ask them, either you get manipulated or allow yourself to handle the manipulation.
Okay, I'm just going to say that again. Either allow yourself to be manipulated, or
you handle this manipulation yourself.
You handle the manipulation.
Yeah. So the pressure which we are talking about, there are two types of pressure. One is a good stress, another is a bad stress.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the good stress is making me realize how important my time is.
Right.
And I have to sit down and I have to focus. Even if it is 20 minutes, I keep my distractions away. I'm fully focused. I'm finishing the job. Good stress.
Yeah.
Now, bad stress is when I'm always complaining and blaming others, or even putting myself down, selling short. People are stressed at their workplace, in their family, in the relationship, is because they do a lot of short selling. They're like, oh, I'm a lazy person. I can't do it. Oh, I'm too old for this. Oh, I'm too young for this.
Is that like a defense mechanism?
Yes. It's like protecting their ego. It's like he's talking.
Right.
Yeah.
When I was reading about neuroscience of stress, I came across a term called eustress, E-U stress. And eustress is exactly what you just mentioned. It is beneficial stress. Because in the brain, there's something called as the amygdala network. And the amygdala is what responds to stress. It's what responds to outside threat. But the amygdala is also what is responsible for controlling your attention.
Yes.
So if there is no stress, you are telling the amygdala that this thing does not deserve your attention.
Right.
Because attention is a precious thing. You have to spend your energy. You have to spend, chemical resources on attention. So why should the brain waste it?
Correct. Yeah.
That's, so what you're saying seems to make a lot of sense, even from a neuroscience perspective.
I'm glad.
when you have people coming to you who have trouble in getting their work done, who have trouble in focusing, are there productivity hacks that you give them that this will work across the board? Or is it something more streamlined just for that person based on somebody's personality?
I do the both. So first I do more of group coaching, and personal coaching are very selective and exclusive. Okay. Now in when I'm doing it for the group and they have to take care of their productivity, there are various things that they have to take care. A few things are like deep breathing. If they want to stay productive, they should take care of the breathing part. You know, we are not breathing properly. Everybody is breathing only till their lungs, and the full deep breathing is till their stomach crossing the diaphragm.
Right.
Okay. So that makes me productive. People are dehydrated. The more they're spending time in front of the screen, they forget drinking water.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yes.
Most of even the people who think that they're drinking enough water are actually not.
No.
There's something I tell especially my migraine patients.
Yeah.
Because more and more research is showing that just adequate hydration can have such a positive effect on migraine. And it's the cheapest medicine, right? You can just advise to anybody and nobody has a side effect.
Absolutely.
From drinking water. So another thing that you said, do you also prescribe to the placebo effect, not as a negative thing, but as something that you should make use of?
Yes, little bit. But before that, I also ask them to make sure that they're taking power nap during the day. If they are not sleeping adequately, it is okay. Number of hours of sleep doesn't matter. The quality of the sleep matters. So max, if they can take care of 4 hours of deep sleep and 1.5 hour of REM, that is also great. Now that's the big deal, because many people don't have this.
Will not. Yes. Do you also encourage sleep tracking? Because I know a lot of people are doing that these days.
It is important.
Right.
Should. Like the way we are tracking our screen time, we should track our sleep time. So it's okay to sleep with the smartwatch and track it.
Yes. I've tried it myself, and there are some fascinating insights that you would have never known otherwise.
Right. Yes.
Nowadays with smartwatches, we have so much of biofeedback. We can understand our body so much better that I think it is silly to not use it to our advantage.
Actually, yeah. It is always good to know more about us than what is happening around the world. Like, yeah. I'm okay to miss out on some of the news. It doesn't matter to me. But I know a lot about myself, and that's the whole thing.
We briefly talked about defense mechanisms, and since you're talking about knowing yourself, I feel that is one of the most important areas that you should know. Just yes. Your own defense mechanisms.
Yes, that is true. Very, very true. And more than defense, I feel people should know where to act vulnerable, where to be smart, where to act naive at the same time.
Right? How can they know that?
With practice. With a lot of practice. So I was having this discussion with one of like few of my students, and we were talking about what to do in a relationship between husband and wife, like, you know, where the one partner is absolutely negative, always speaking negative from their mouth. So how much more of like, you know, patience we need to carry to make the person understand that this negativity is not good for our relationship. So another like junior coach, I can say, added that, oh, talk to them politely and see how long it can, like, you know, they can understand. I said, what politely?
What did you advise?
It's a life partner. Add humor. People are not adding humor to their life. So like, if it is me and my husband, I'll simply say, main ek baat bata. When the teacher was teaching math subject in your school, teacher, you only paid attention when the teacher was teaching you subtraction. Isn't that true?
Wow, there is so much metaphor in that line.
So whenever you open your mouth, you're only saying negative. What's the deal?
Oh, wow. Okay, that will take some time to sink in. So he'll be waking up in the middle of the night saying, wait, what did you mean by that comment?
So it's like, you know, in relationship, we don't have to prove, oh, I'm right and you are wrong.
Right.
Sometimes you can just leave it as it is, add humor and walk off.
In the OPD, I come across the most stunning conversations between husband and wife. So there is, like, for instance, recently I had a patient who had migraine, and I asked her of, are there any stressors in your life? Because that is something you ask, because stress can increase migraine. And she looks at me very calmly, and she tells me, "Even since my husband has started cheating on me, my headache has increased."
Oh.
And the husband is sitting right there, not knowing where to look. And a part of my mind is going, wait, what did she just say? And a part of me is also having so much respect that, okay, they can just talk about it openly, which is actually quite healthy. But I didn't know what to say. I just told her my counselor is in the next room. We are going to shift you across to her.
Hi, man. That was really shocking.
You said that for the last 2 years you've been doing this, waking up early and having these sessions. Do you feel there are moments where you want to take a break or you're not that motivated to do this?
Yes, I do that. I do
Yeah.
that feeling. So I have been doing Magnificent Morning since 2 years, and that point comes to me when I can actually, I know and I get the feeling I can take this session even in sleep, because it is so like, script. Now it's big, like I don't have a script, but the script has come into my mind. I know on this slide what exactly I have to say. And now that is like, so now I know this is my saturation point. If I
Yeah.
still continue with this, then it will not be healthy for me, Yeah, so what I do is I surprise my brain. And I
Okay.
had like three different varieties of topics in Magnificent Morning.
Right.
So I changed the whole thing, like inside structure completely changed. So now it becomes a different, like a surprise, surprise. Now I have to say something different.
Right.
That monotony is broken.
That's a
Most of
very
the
good,
Yeah,
yeah.
monotony is the main key why we feel less motivated to do a work.
This applies even in, since we were talking about relationships. While you were saying this, I realized one of the problems in most relationships that last for maybe more than 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, monotony inevitably sets in. Because in a
Yes.
way it is comfortable. That is also another thing. It
Yes.
is the positive aspect that you wake up with the same person, you know what who they are, you know all their likes, their dislikes, and they know you. But where is the surprise? Where is that newness? This
Correct.
thing can probably apply there also, your advice of just surprising yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so bringing the change is important. Surprising the brain is important. So I give them exercises like, for example, today you have to write a love note to your favorite person, but you have to write by writing reverse or typing reverse.
Wow. Okay, I see what you're trying to do. Just make you so uncomfortable and get you so much out of your comfort zone that you are having fun.
Exactly. So, and brain likes fun. Brain likes like such varieties of things. So why not?
Right.
Small
Okay. I'm going to try this. I'm going to write my wife a love letter in reverse. Let's see.
Start with a no. Don't go for the letter first. It will be hard time for her to decode it.
Yeah, she might think that I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. So don't come telling me my name.
I will. I'm afraid that I'll say Anamika
So
told
I can even add you more thing. I don't know who is the king in the kitchen,
me.
but you should go and cook now.
Oh, wow. I would, but I want her to remain in the house, so I probably should
That's a good one.
not. There is something I read recently. I was reading about evolution, and I came across a term. Cooperation and competition is the rule of evolution, is the rule of nature. And that author briefly talked about how that has not changed. Throughout evolution, we are trained to cooperate. So if I'm meeting you for the first time, I'm going to try and cooperate with you. But a part of my mind is also competing with you. We are always doing this, irrespective of who we are, whether it's best friends or your partner or your brother, sisters or colleagues in the workplace. We are both trying to cooperate and compete at the same time. So this leads to a lot of conflict because sometimes we don't know, are we cooperating or are we competing?
Oh, yeah.
Has this come up in your sessions, you know, people coming up with this particular conflict?
Yes, they do, but not so evidently, like you have, like, you know, explicitly you have mentioned this. They don't know what is happening. And then they start, where is true love? And then I have to tell them.
The eternal question.
Let's not go there because it doesn't exist.
Wow. Okay, you're brutal.
I break many hearts. I keep breaking their hearts throughout the session.
Oh, wow. There is no such thing as true love. Excellent. So do you also say there's no such thing as soulmate?
No.
No, you don't do that.
These are syllable words. I keep telling them. So late, wait for Valentine. You buy things. You go ahead. Give some business to Archie's also. See, they are also running low in business. Soulmate and all is good for them to sell.
Wow. So I'm guessing that do you also think of yourself as a relationship coach or no?
I try not to. But I do get such calls. And then I have to tell them upfront. So like, see, you're talking to a coach, you're not a counselor. Disclaimers are there. Let me first explain my side, how I look at things. If you're bluffing yourself, I'll tell you you're bluffing. If you both are bluffing yourself, I'll tell you both are bluffing yourself. So if you're prepared and ready, then only you come to me.
Yeah, because that would make a great tagline for a relationship coach. There is no such thing as true love. Abhi aajo.
Yeah, let's talk.
Now let's talk. Yeah, I mean, what's the point in kidding yourself? The whole idea of a relationship, I believe, is to grow as a person.
Actually.
So no point in creating any false stories about anything.
Absolutely. I mean, we are... Every time, whatever we do with a hidden motive and hidden intention. It's better to identify it, acknowledge it, and accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big thing. I mean, the moment we accept it, that yes, I do it with a hidden motive, I mean, then only we can say I'm being a true self.
Yeah.
Then only I can look for true love. Am I first person?
Wow. This is almost poetic. Because when I what I'm hearing is that for something to be true love, that true part is very important.
Exactly.
So if you're not honest, then kahani aage badegi nahi.
Exactly.
Wow. One of the conflicts that I've faced in just even thinking about relationship and even from a personal point of view is that honesty is hard.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, when you're at that point where you have to be honest, it is hard because you know that we are going to go through a lot of trouble for the next half an hour, 1 hour. This is not going to be a comfortable discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why people may want to delay it or postpone it or lie or say that, let's not go there.
Yes, because people are looking for character certificate. People are looking for being in the good books of other person. People... Yeah. And third reason can be people don't want any, like, you know, trouble in their life. They don't want unnecessary, irrelevant discussions, arguments in their life. So they just, you know, like kick the ball because for the sake of it, it is easier.
Yeah. Escapism.
Escapism, yes.
Mm. I'm going to turn the conversation to a different place. Are you a religious person?
I'm a spiritual person. Right. Religious, yes, by Hindu. Like, I'm born in Hindu Brahmin family, so yes.
Okay.
I follow as I can.
Huh. So, where do you think is the line, or where does religion become spirituality, or spirituality become religion, according to you?
Okay, so spirituality, in one word, is consciousness, awareness. So, when I say I'm a spiritual person, though normally a spiritual person should not say this, because I'm aware who I am. Now, why do I have to say this?
Right. Oh, that's a catch-22.
But you are, so I said it. Okay. And when it comes to religious, being religious, so I'll always justify my action saying that it has been taught to me in this way and hence I'm doing it. So I'm actually depending, I'm actually quite a lot taking support of, you know, mythologies and ritual, religious practices to do my actions. But when I'm conscious, when I'm aware, if I know I have to be a vegetarian, I like being vegetarian, I'll be a vegetarian. I don't have to say, oh, because I'm a Brahmin family or because it is not being practiced in my house, I'm a vegetarian. So I'm not dependent.
Wonderful. Yes. Religion is something that is taught and spirituality is something that you discover.
You discover. Yes. And it comes to you naturally on its own. Nobody can teach you to be one.
Yeah. There is also this aspect of how religion is a social event. Religion requires many people to come together.
Yes.
And spirituality seems more like a solo trip.
Yes. So religion is hypnotic. It can hypnotize you. You get carried away and you forget many things, which is a kind of a therapy, because hypnotherapy, I myself do it.
Right.
And spirituality, like you said, so to make it more simpler, religion is more like a garden of mango trees.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is a coconut tree.
Wow. Just one coconut tree, no distractions, nothing. It's just there.
Nothing. And I can tell you why being coconut tree is good, by the way.
Why?
Okay. So
I'm from Kerala, by the way, so I'm already a fan of coconut trees.
Oh, brilliant. Now let's get into this. I'm also excited. So if you look at mango tree, if I have to take the fruit, even if it is the king of the tree, I have to take the fruit from the tree, I'll keep on putting stones at it.
Right. Oh, wow. Yes.
Okay. But if I have to take a coconut from the coconut tree, I'll have to climb upon it.
Oh, man. There is so much metaphors. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
You have to work for it. You have to climb up slowly, slowly, slowly. Yeah.
Exactly. So if I'm being a giver, if I feel like, oh, I want to be a helping person, I want to help the world. But if I'm just helping, high chances people will hit stones at me if I don't know whom I'm supposed to help and why I should help.
Right.
People should be told to raise their standards so that they are getting the help from me.
Mm. I cannot be giving things away for free, because eventually that value will go away.
I will be taken for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But if people have to work for it, if they have to work towards getting what I'm giving, then that will be much more of importance to them.
Exactly. I don't give live recordings.
You don't. Okay. Wake up and attend it. Oh, I have to learn this. I am still more of, let's just give it and hopefully they will utilize it in the best way. But I get your point. I get what you mean.
So if anybody is asking me that, okay, why can't I have this for free? I mean, you're teaching us to wake up early. You should do it for free. I said, go ahead, my YouTube channel.
Right. Enjoy.
No problem.
Incredible.
So coming back to the coconut and mango tree, I've got like two more examples here.
Okay. Yes.
So in coconut mango tree, if I look at when the season is not right, the thunderstorm is happening. Okay, the wind is really high. High chances the mango tree branches will start breaking down.
Right.
But when we look at a coconut tree in the thunderstorm, it is started swinging.
Yeah.
It is adjustable.
Yeah.
Okay, so mango tree is representing people living with their past and future both. The past fears, worries, tension, and the future worries and tension.
Right.
It is so loaded. People break when there is a tough time. People taking the load of expectations.
Right.
Their own expectations, other people's expectation. It's so much. A society's expectation. They break when the time is tough. But a coconut tree who is a solo person, it can adjust. Like, come what may, I can do it no matter what.
Is this also how you think of spirituality, as something that is constantly evolving and changing as the winds change?
Absolutely. It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It is more of awareness. No? So the person gets another aha moment. Okay, so now the time is tough. Now I have to be a different person. I have to be a better person maybe.
Right.
On my own.
That is another thing about religion, that the aha moments are all recorded. It is all written.
Yes.
So when you say ki likha hai,
yes,
it means that where is your discovery? Where is your journey? So a lot of people actually go through a spiritual journey under the umbrella of religion. और उनको समझ में नहीं आता फर्क क्या है, बट वॉट देर एक्चुअली गोइंग थ्रू इज अ रिलीजियस इज अ स्पिरिचुअल जर्नी, बट रिलीजन इज सेटिंग द स्टेज फॉर दैट. इट जस्ट मेक्स इट इजियर.
इट इज इजियर एंड इट इज कैची. इट डजंट मेक यू फील अलोन.
यस, इट्स अ मल्टीप्लेयर गेम. रिलीजन इज अ मल्टीप्लेयर गेम, सो यू फील लाइक और भी लोग है,
और भी लोग है तो कर लेते हैं, अच्छा है, सेफ है. Again, coming to the mango tree, garden of mangoes.
Right.
Always willing to give shelter to others.
Yeah.
But coconut tree doesn't want to give any shade or shelter to anybody.
Right, because that's not its job. The job is not for comfort. The job is for understanding.
Exactly.
In fact, a lot of people might have panic attacks
in
the journey of spirituality, because while they're climbing up and they're neither here nor there, when they're just hanging in the middle, for the lack of a better term, फटती है.
Yes.
When you don't know कि मैं ऊपर जाऊँ कि नीचे जाऊँ.
And then they come and ask me how to practice detachment. I'm like, really? You want to practice detachment?
Okay. When you're hanging on a coconut tree. Yeah, you cannot let go. The one of the challenges I feel in spirituality is that we know a lot of these terms.
Yeah.
But we don't understand its meaning.
Exactly.
So we know about detachment. We know that we've heard of Mohmaya. We love to say it. Sab Mohmaya hai. Like we love to say it, you know, we tell it to each other.
Yeah. But
what does it mean really when you say it's Sab Mohmaya hai?
I'll tell you. Okay, so I'll ask you a question. Okay.
Okay.
Has it ever happened to you that you're doing a fantastic job all your life and you feel like bas ho gaya. Now I want to run to Himalayas.
Oh, yeah. So for me, it's not Himalayas, it's Andaman. But I get the concept, yes.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, in Andaman also.
Yeah.
And like that Andaman is not the resort while Andaman, I'm sure. That Andaman is like an island with no people around.
With nothing, nobody, yes.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, 5 days Maggie and you'll be back. Okay, so instead of running to Andaman or Himalayas, it's better to create Andaman over here in our mind.
Yeah.
Because indeed we are biryani people. Yeah. It's okay to be materialistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, I used to think of how, you know, people say you should give up on all these material things. And I always used to think, let me earn it first. I mean, you cannot tell somebody to give up before they have even enjoyed things. So I'm going to, I mean, that's what I thought, that live life to the fullest, do everything. Before you even think of giving things up. No point in pretending.
Totally. See, I'm sitting here and talking about sleeping early. I have done tons of parties. I'm married to a multi guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Parties talk.
Saste mein.
Yes. So, good one. Yeah. Saste mein. So now I know it doesn't mean anything. You know, like I'm off. I've been sober for past 4-5 years now.
Wow. Okay.
And I know it's just of no use at all.
Right.
Mm.
But that's an important concept for people to understand, that when you give up on something, understand what it is first. Don't give up on something because other people tell you to do, or out of fear ki kuch hoga, it'll take over my life. Nothing. If you are having that fear, in fact, there's a different problem you should be dealing with.
Exactly. So I never had complaint against Jack Daniels. Yeah. I still find it very good.
Well, Jack is an old friend.
So, yes, exactly.
This, I actually have so much to ask you, but I'm going to end it with one of my favorite questions, or my current favorite topic to even think about. What is your take on meditation, and what is your own personal experience with meditation?
Okay, so I'm a pranic healer and a Reiki practitioner as well.
Okay.
So meditation is a part of my life. And I started meditating with the idea of focusing, which is utterly wrong. Meditation is not about focusing on something. It is about going with the flow. So it does happen that during our meditation, our thoughts will start wandering. It is absolutely okay. Come back and be in the moment, and that's it. That's meditation. Sleeping is also meditation.
Yeah.
Just watching the natural beauty with no thoughts, as in, oh, wow, beautiful clouds. That's not meditation. But if you're just noticing the clouds passing by, noticing the beautiful flower with no thought, that is also meditation.
One of the problems that I used to have was I would always try and make sense of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to understand why or try to conclude something from a situation. And I realized that it's making me go crazy. So recently, as part of a meditative exercise, I'm trying to just be.
Yes.
Jo hai so. I mean, I don't have to react. I don't have to say. I don't have to think. Just whatever is happening is happening.
It's perfect the way it is.
Right. It is part of our primitive defense mechanism to even think that it is your job to make sense of it, or it is your job to try and make it perfect. Who are you to want to make it perfect? Who are you to say this is perfect and this is not?
Exactly. And when people say how to deal with my conflict when I'm meditating, I'm not able to do it properly, I say, just look at your five fingers. Mm. They are in disagreement totally all the time. It's okay.
They all have their own role to play.
Exactly.
Amazing.
If in meditation also I'm competing, then better not do it.
I meditate for 15 minutes. Oh yeah, I meditate for 17 minutes. You're missing the big picture. Amazing. Dr. Anamika, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. I genuinely enjoyed the conversation. I had actually made a list of a few other questions, but I think this conversation was so free-flowing and natural that I didn't want to turn it anywhere else.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you, seriously.
I'm so happy. And of course, since you're in Bombay, would love to catch up if anytime, you know, you're coming to Borivali side, or let's definitely make a plan.
Yeah, let's do it. Pawai is the best place,
I'm telling you. Pawai is the best place. It's almost a little European. Every time I go to Pawai, I think, yaar, kaha pe aa gaye?
You forget that you are in Bombay for some time.
Right? Are you a fan of that hotel, Renaissance?
I'll tell you, when you ask me about the break, so in this year, in 2021, previous year, of course. So I took a gap of 1 week staycation, solo staycation in Renaissance.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that place. I think we have also gone for staycations for 2 days, 3 days, just for no other reason than to get out of the house.
Yes. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. The view is amazing. So I had this feeling when I was in IIT Bombay, from the other side, I used to see the Renaissance.
Oh yeah, of course. So you've just crossed over. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.